I'm not even doing this ironically. I love Siri.
Hello, listeners. We're back again. The Smoke and Sugar Lounge.
Yeah. That's a good name for this, actually.
Yeah, it's way better than the Norwich Gig Podcast.
Don't know what Sugar Lounge has to do with it, but I guess no, you got it on the money. Lounge. Yeah, you got it on the money.
I've actually stolen it from another podcast, so we'll have to leave.
Oh, that's so upsetting. Why would you do that? at the very beginning,
I'm unoriginal at my core. So we've decided to record our conversation, which I will have to now give context for future us.
Okay.
So we were talking about.
You know what would be good if we speak to the audience, not as anyone external, but literally to ourselves in the future.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it works. Yeah. It's like our diary.
We reorganize what the podcast is
Isn't
for.
Isn't that what vlogs are?
And ultimately, the podcast is for us. Like, it's like we've.
Isn't
like,
that the point? They are for us.
Yeah, I was thinking.
We never
Until you put one really embarrassing podcast of us onto Spotify.
It wasn't embarrassing. It was really fun. I love that podcast.
Yeah, man.
It's so much That's fun. Good podcast. And you seem to not like it, which I don't understand, because you come off great. You're funny in that one.
No, man.
Yes, you are.
Come on.
I'm the wacky one.
I feel like the situation proved it. And I feel like you're the one I can...
It was just a one-off.
I could just cling to... Like, in terms of in conversation, I'm like, hey, man, if I stick around this guy, like... I would either feel uncomfortable in unison with you, or I just feel more comfortable. Because yeah. I'm like, hey, this guy knows how to socialize. But, like, I think I do too, but I feel like you're, like, if someone sort of dries up immediately, and again, no reference. Mm. That was a one-off, I know, because it was first time and things were more kind of unfamiliar. But...
Mm.
If things dry up in, like, a social situation, I'm like, I come up with fewer ideas, and I just feel like, yeah, it's nice. You know, you definitely come off with a cool vibe in groups. Like, you even got that, you're cracking jokes, making me and Myron laugh, and then literally in the same montage, a historical montage, girls literally come up to you and ask your number and want to hang out with you, which did happen.
Not really. It wasn't quite the way it happened.
And they're like, oh, can I please have your number? And you just
they
come up
say
like,
that. They looking so me.
me and Myron looking at you with heart eyes. You're in the middle. You're like you're getting numbers from these girls, and you don't even care. You're like, oh, I don't even think I'm gonna text her. Taking off your glasses, and then you even had the dramatic scene in the bathroom where you started vomiting. You were like, what's gonna happen to our plucky protagonist? It was like a teen's party movie, and then it turned into dramatic thriller where you're like, I can't do this because I'm on antidepressants. Anyway. You know,
it might be narcissistic of me to say, but I would pay you to just narrate days of my life like that.
Yeah.
Especially because you really big me up in them, which is very sweet. When you said I was the plucky protagonist, I was like, oh...
Yeah,
and before when you were buttering me up. That was
okay,
nice
well,
too.
All right. This is my fear. This is our meta analysis of everything we do. But my fear is, I don't want to bust you up too much and give the compliments away, because at the end of the day, if you know, I'd like to leave a bit of mystery as to how I view people like you. Like there are things that I'm like, yeah, I would. I really appreciate that, but I probably did not tell them. Just because you're like, A, probably doesn't come up, and B, can't really be bothered, and C, you're like, yeah, it'd be, you know, you view people in a certain way that you can't absolutely divert. Like, it'd be impossible to put it into words, because I think that's kind of how you get it with, like, all important human relationships. But, I mean, my very, very roundabout point to a very simple, underwhelming point is don't let it get to your head.
Yeah, as I've said before, we're gonna be forced to live together until the age of 30, where we finally give up our youth.
Finally give up our youth? Haven't we done that already?
Well, you said you did it earlier. But...
Yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah. That transition stage in Kong versus Zilla where I
realized
I was no longer a boy. Which sounds like, which again, sounds really like a cliche movie scene where you're like, oh yeah, I'm no longer, you're like Chris staring Pine's into character. The lake. To be honest, I don't even know who Chris Pine is.
He's the one who's in Wonder Woman. He's the Steve.
Oh, yeah.
He's also in Star Trek. He's Kirk.
He sounds like a Chris. There are far too many Chrises in Hollywood.
They're all really the same. There's Chris Pratt, there's Chris Pine, which I always think are confusing. Like, just one of you pick a different name. Be Chris Pinecone or something, you know. Anyway, speaking of this story again, we'll come back to that discussion of our futures, which is a depressing topic in and of itself, but...
Oh, come on. I'll deal with some positivity.
Okay, well, I was mostly being just...
Okay, right.
But anyway, so, viewers, I mean listeners, I mean us, in the future.
If we refer to us in the future as listeners, and we think back on it, that's going to be... We're gonna be like, wow, that was pretty embarrassing that we called ourselves listeners.
Yeah, but in the other podcast, we said our mums were listeners, so what's worse? That we don't even listen to it, or our mums listen to it.
Okay. Alright,
touche. We know we're egotists. Anyway, so we were talking about the stars, we were looking at the stars, and I asked George, what's that bright star there called? And he, for some reason, started trying to name stars at me, saying, it begins with an A. And I said, no, I mean literally name it.
Yeah.
And then he said, this is like a scene in a film. Which then started our latest movie pitch, which is Kamala Harris. I was going to say...
Kamala Harris.
What's her name?
Kamala Harris.
Kamala.
There was this whole thing... Okay, not a massive tangent, but like there was this whole thing about American senators confusing her name. And like it's not a complicated name. It's Kamala Harris. And Kamala's not even that foreign.
No.
And all these like old fogies were like... Kamalia? Or like Gumala?
Kumbaya.
Yeah, Kumbaya. They were like...
Just really butchering it.
It was...
Kamala, I only say Kamala because that's how I've heard it said with like the Marvel character Kamala Khan.
Yeah.
But Kamala, okay, fair enough. So Kamala Harris, Vice President, is starring in a new rom-com with Chris Pine. And she's the plucky protagonist, like you said earlier. Which thank God we caught that on audio, because now I have proof that it happened.
Yeah.
Kamala Harris is our plucky protagonist, played by Willem Dafoe.
Oh, no. You stick Willem Dafoe in every single one of these.
He's in a wig.
Oh, but he was in a wig the last film.
Well, if we don't release the other one, then there's not going to be any continuity between what's going on.
Oh, man, you always play to the audience as Willem Dafoe.
Don't worry, audience. All right, so Willem Dafoe playing Kamala Harris. Sorry, Kamala Harris.
We're going to have our 53rd Willem Dafoe story in our 53rd podcast.
Do you think it'd be confusing if we have Willem Dafoe play Kamala Harris, but then we have Kamala Harris play Kamala Harris, her sister?
Right, okay.
Okay, so anyway... So, Willem Dafoe is Kamala Harris.
Kalama Harris.
Am I fucking up? Kamala? Yeah. Did I say Kalamar?
Kalama, yeah.
It's Kalama Harris.
Fogey senators again.
Gumbalila.
They progressively get more tribal. They bring drums out every time they say the name. Sorry, am I not pronouncing Gumbalila? Yeah. Other Republicans do it native dance.
Some guy comes in and is like, hey, who's listening to the Lion King?
They're just doing a very long ritual in order to address Kamala Harris. The Republicans are at it again.
Deeply just... that's the new topic. Oh, they're back at it.
Have you watched that Onion video where it's like Republicans walk and talk really slowly in order for Democrat bills not to get passed? No. Basically filibustering because they're all like... Yeah, to each other while the Democrats on the other side are like, wait, what are they doing? They're like, order. and then there's a scene in which they all walk slow motion, like, and they're like these six Republican men walking along in a line, but they're all walking in slow motion as the civil servants just, you know, walk by.
That's normally pretty funny.
You should watch that. That was a brilliant one.
I do want to watch it. Anyway, now, we were talking about Kamala Harris. She is the plucky protagonist who's just got the recent job of vice president's vice president. Sorry.
Okay.
So Kamala Harris is, yeah, the vice president's vice president. She is new in town, and she suddenly gets a phone call that her dad is ill, and she has to race back to her hometown of Nowheresville, USA.
She meets her dad, who the doctor's like, Kamala, your dad
He's got heart attack cancer, and there are all these ugly spores
that are you know, yeah,
he's green for some reason because there's really no information about medicine. Like, it's like that Mitchell Webb sketch where they just don't know. Like, it's like really cheap research for a medical show, so all the doctors are like, nurse, this is the wrong sort of medicine. I need the other medicine for this.
So anyway. the dad is in a poor state, to say the least.
He's got heart attack cancer.
Yeah.
Which is just a smaller version of him attached to his heart.
Yeah.
He's going, oh, and clutching his chest.
Yeah. Good, we've got the sound effects out. This is getting more immersive by the minute.
Yeah, so I'll walk you through it. So Kamala Harris has to go home. The doctors are like, it's not looking good.
Yeah.
Also, I was going to say, as a note, because the 14th isn't just locked in. And my mom was like, oh, we can pick you up on the 14th. But if I say, like, actually, can you guys come on the 15th?
Yeah.
Like, it's a day, but it's still more time.
Dude. That would be...
Give me your phone, I'll call my mom. Hello. this is an unknown number. Who is this? And then I'll go, shut up, bitch.
What if your mum's, like, part-time job was, like, call centre worker, and she recognises my number, and she's like, hello, is this Beluga Bawa calling me back?
Oh, no, I have to explain and I'll be
like,
jokes.
I'll be like, Jenny... Debbie?
Oh man, that joke was so layered.
Oh no.
So, just to
the method. Just out. No, don't bother. Explaining the method. Where is our Kamala Harris? Now I'm even further.
We have to get
Where
back.
Is the Kamala
We'll get back
Harris,
to that story but... after this. Okay. To quickly, in case we forget, Beluga Harris was the man that George pretended he was when he had to fill out a form to get a bunch of V-Bucks on an online game.
Do you reckon they'll be able to... What if they're trying to sleep and they're getting this up? Or Beluga Bawawa for, like, the third time? And we do it on our third take.
They can definitely hear us, because I can hear them when I'm in my room.
Oh, fucking hell.
It's fine.
Sorry, mates, if you're hearing us.
Is that you, Beluga Bawawa?
Is that you? Is that you, Beluga Bawawa?
Anyway, so he... Months later, he got a call from this call centre from an unknown number, and he'd given the name Beluga Bawawa.
Okay, let me just add a note that this game was some game that I knew at heart I absolutely did not care about. It was like Club Penguin. I just wanted to relive the memories and have loads of Penguin
Get
bucks.
Loads of V-Bucks, million V-Bucks, which never came.
Yeah, and so I signed up to this site, and it looked suspicious, but I was like, if this dark alley in which I enter will make me a richer man. I'll come out of this dark alley with big Club Penguin money bags.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, in my impulsive brain, I was like, okay, fine. This, you know, if this, I might get something from this. In the same way that you'd gamble with. Anyway. What was I gonna say? I put my personal info in. I was like, fuck it, here's my Gmail, here is my phone number, and then I was like, okay, but you're not having my name. My name is too far. Otherwise you could probably, you know, begin to steal my identity or something.
through Gmail
my name and my phone number.
Yeah. We think he committed the crime. His Gmail was nearby.
So, and I was like, they're not having my name. My name's Beluga Bawawa for now. So I receive, you know, the first week I receive, like, you know, 3-4 calls. Enough calls to make me feel popular from these telecom workers. And they're like, Hello, is this Beluga Bawawa? We'd like to introduce you to a cell phone plan.
Hello, is this Mr. Bawawa?
Yeah, and I thought I was done with it. And then 9 months later, some desperate office guy going through probably the last page of his backlogs of people he needs to call.
Yeah.
And he finds a Beluga Bawawa. So I shower, I get out of the showers, you know, many months later, and I get a call. I hear the Scottish person going, "Hello there, is this Mr. Bawawa?" And I was like, and at this point I forgot. I was like, I don't know what
Beluga
I did.
Beluga Bawawa.
Yeah.
And you were like, yes.
I know. I was like,
Nessie, is this Beluga Bawawa? And you were like, yes.
Oh,
who's
man.
Calling?
Yeah.
It's me, Beluga.
I got really confused and he was like, "Oh, wrong number." And I was like, yeah, I think so. And then a millisecond later it struck me, oh gosh, I made that.
I'm Beluga Bawawa.
That was me all along. And cuts back to our Kamala Harris film. This is a subplot.
Yeah. This is just someone she walks past on the street that we focused on for a bit.
Yeah.
So to neatly come back to our Kamala Harris story. Yeah. So Kamala Harris is, you know, she's got to go back to her town. Her father's had a heart attack. Sorry, a cancer heart attack.
Yeah.
He's got heart attack cancer, my bad.
Yeah, okay. Both.
No, I just love the idea of this, like, this ambiguous, like, non-entity, like a heart attack having cancer somehow.
Yeah.
She's got headache cancer. So, yeah, she's back in town. And suddenly she bumps into her ex-bully from primary school, played by, well, we had Chris Pine in the last one, but we've got Willem Dafoe currently as Kamala Harris. So who goes well with Willem Dafoe?
Willem Dafoe.
Brendan Fraser.
I actually think Dakota Johnson would go well with Willem Dafoe.
We're not, this isn't a real story. Okay. So we're not having any proper actors. So Brendan Fraser, my favourite, is playing Chris Pine's character. Who doesn't have a name, ex-bully.
I'm...
But he's hot now.
I'm slightly afraid at any point the guy upstairs will have had enough and open the window and he'll be like, "Can you guys just shut up?"
And we will lose all of our confidence and run inside.
Yeah, we'll yeah.
You guys shut
and
up.
The night's ended. We're like, okay, I think we got to go to sleep. I think the best thing.
We've done this before to them, so really they should be used to it.
That's true.
But that was a star for a second, but it's a movie.
Oh, no, that's a plane, I guess. Or that's a UFO.
Yeah, those are the only two options it could be. It can't be like a meteor or anything. Well, it's moving, I think it's a satellite. Because
really?
Satellites move that fast, and it's not flashing like a plane. It's also very small. That's a plane over there.
Do you reckon that's a satellite?
Yeah, satellites do they're normally very fast moving in the sky. I had this whole argument with Joe once. We were on holiday in Portugal, and he looked up at the sky and he was like, "I reckon so many of these are satellites." And I was like, "No, satellites have to be moving, because, you know, stars at least appear stationary because their orbit is so slow, but satellites are travelling." So, yeah, stuff like that. It could be a meteor, it could be a...
I mean, my...
A meteorite, I mean... Oh, I know, meteors when they're in the air.
Why I'm fascinated by that is because it just feels like a man-made piece of hunky metal that we've shot so far up into the sky that the satellites look like stars, which is, you know, pretty profound and symbolic, if you ask me.
Oh, God, here we go again. Yeah, it is quite profound that this is going to be a complete tangent. We'll come back to Willem Dafoe in a second. But I think I heard it a Victor Nova Vsauce video.
Yeah.
But there was this speech about what, they basically got this guy to write a speech for Richard Nixon if the moon landings, or it might have been JFK, I don't remember. But if the moon landings had failed and they'd had to have left Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong. And there's a line in it that I think I've repurposed for like at least two poems, where they say something like, in olden days we looked to the stars and saw our gods in the constellations. These days we do much the same, but our heroes are epic men of flesh and blood. Which I always really liked.
Dude, did you write that?
No, that was one of the speeches. But I always found it so like
that's
painfully
amazing.
Poetic. And I was like, God, that's really cool. So I wrote a poem about the kind of, I think I called it something about like a moon, like being where the astronauts were, and this whole idea of kind of being, you're orbited by them constantly, so you have this almost humbling reminder, this kind of like lunar mausoleum that just flies around you, and this kind of constant memento mori kind of thing. But anyway, I really like this speech, so I always remembered it, and then I kind of used the inspiration for some poems, I think.
I'd love to read them. I still think about your fist of Tunguska or whatever.
The Tunguska event.
Tunguska, yeah. I remember reading that the first time, and I was like, oh man, this is like really good. I feel like, you know, that one you've sort of exceeded yourself.
Oh.
And then this wasn't even me this was completely independent of you. Like, I wasn't thinking about you, and then through that I thought about the poem. But like the poem came back to me a few times, like individually, because it's just such a, yeah, it's such a it's a way of describing it that brings it so much to life, and kind of, it's no longer just kind of, you know, a space rock out the sky and it falls down. And you know, I don't know a lot about the event. I'm sure it was epic, but it was just a very, very sort of epic way of describing it. And I was like, oh wow.
That's really sweet.
Yeah, so I told it to you once upstairs, I think. But I think,
I turned to you and said, what do you say in jazz, mother? But oh, no, we're back into risky territory.
It's one for one. We've made fun of a Scottish person and...
You thought
not that
I...
you can't. Oh gosh, I'm in risky. I'm sliding all over this ice floor.
I was gonna make a joke about me wearing a face mask, like, you know those ones that are like gel you put on your face, and they're like the anti-aging ones.
Oh yeah.
I was gonna make a joke that I'm wearing like.
I was imagining that gel, but like all over you, and you were bald as well. Because I was imagining, when you said mask, I thought you meant ski mask. Ski masks, and I said...
Your face looked really shocked. I didn't know why, when you were thinking about it. You were like...
Because you were like, that gel, and I'm like, there's something like a ski mask, but as a gel. I was like, this is really futuristic.
That's perverse. and it's like a dark black colour, and you walk in, and I say, Jav mother, and you think I'm doing blackface.
Oh my word.
That was going to be my joke, but now I've done the joke anyway.
Yeah.
So it's made us look way worse. But luckily, this is part of that 30 to 40 minute... like an answering machine.
Yeah.
Anyway, what were we even talking about? Oh, yeah. The moon. What did we say after the moon?
Yeah, we said... You said something about Buzz Aldrin and being like... Oh, no, the speech.
Oh, no, you were talking about the poetry afterwards. And then we were talking about... What did we get onto after that?
See, this is...
Oh, no, you said, I know why, because I made the joke, because you said I came up to you and talked to you.
Which was, and then we will trace the etiology back to the very start.
Yeah,
when you said,
we both
do you want to come down and hang out? Which is when I said, yeah, that sounds good.
I think if we go back, I said, goo goo gaga.
Yeah.
And then, and somewhere, you may have responded.
Yeah.
Goo, 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 goo. you said I came upstairs and I thought a funny joke could be if you're like doing this really sweet, sentimental, like, I really like this poem and this part, and then I turn to you and just like completely ignore you and go like, what you watch, Jack, mother? I just thought it'd be funny, but it turned into a whole massively problematic section. Anyway.
Gosh, I feel like this whole conversation is me skiing alone in the wild, and I don't know where it's going to take me.
Reminds me of
my one ski trip in which I got lost on top of the mountain, and then through the speakers I heard my mum go, this is Mummy. This is Mummy. Georgie, are you there? Because if you are, please be safe. We are. We got the whole ski camp to search for you.
By the way, you didn't tell me about this.
No, I did. I did.
No, you didn't. No, but another part where your mom was like, Georgie, we've been searching for you for 4 days. The entire town looking for you.
Yeah.
I don't know why she sounds like this.
And I was like, gosh, I'm too old for this. Look,
17.
13. No, oh, okay. 12. I was probably.
Okay. Actually, old I enough where she probably shouldn't be saying George.
Anywhere from 9 to 12. You know, really coming into the phase where I'm like, I'm a boy. I'm a guy independent of my parents.
Yeah,
I want to make my own in this homosocial world of middle school.
Oh, here we go.
And then at that moment, I feel like that made me who I am. I was so humbled that day that I was like, I've got to reconsider my whole friendship strategy. I'm no longer that fabled alpha male. I am clearly Omega.
Yeah, the alpha was up in the mountains and his mom said, Georgie, come home, you're scared. And he did. What a lame-o. Anyway, babes, let's go on.
The knowledge is enough.
Yeah.
I mean, it was helped by many public embarrassments in which I tried me and my band. Again, the German's mum played a South African song, I believe, and I missed all the chords that I was meant to play.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, people were laughing. And I was like,
they weren't laughing at you though.
And this is where we tangent into my deeper, darker emotions.
Oh no.
Yeah.
It's as deep as the dark.
Oh gosh,
the sky.
Damn. The Way We Oscillate. Yeah, which is our next hit single released as much
oscillate.
To this podcast. No, how we oscillate.
Yeah,
but said sentimentally.
Not, that's not bad. We just, all we do is we add a voice effect to these podcasts and we've instantly got a song.
Yeah.
George, what do you think of Oscillate Wildly? But then we put a really hot back to it. We go, do, 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 do. And you get
like
some
it.
Bum in there.
Yeah.
I mean, not bum, you get drum in there.
you get some bum in. No, that comes with the music video.
Yeah.
I mean, you're thinking
we can't afford this, drums, so we have to slap each other's asses. We just slap each other's asses like it's a really weird Asda advert.
I'm
dun, dun. Let's do
that. I'm gonna pee, but I will pee out here.
Okay.
So
God is a hero. Are you gonna tell me he's still peeing?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Oh gosh, I wouldn't pee.
He turned around and his penis was still exposed.
Yeah, that part was
true.
Tell me if you want to smoke any more.
I might do.
Might be nice.
Yeah, I might
get
do.
Get us a bit. A bit.
I might do.
More relaxed. I love this. This is the feeling that I want to have with smoking. But yeah, we'll edit that part out.
Great. That's to pander to our hippie audience. They're like,
yeah,
they're pretty cool.
Yeah.
What was I gonna say?
You were going to say,
no.
Sorry, which tab are we on? Which which
my
you know
tab.
You know when you in those old school sourcing covers,
yeah,
and there's all those folders A
yeah.
to Z.
Yeah.
I'm mentally flicking through that now.
Well, okay, let's just run this back. We were talking about mums. You're on a ski trip.
Just slapping my bum weirdly.
Slapping your bum. Oh yeah, it's like an Asda.
That comes up way too often.
Okay, I think we finished our point. It's because I do that quite regularly. Anyway,
yeah,
it's just satisfying.
Yeah.
Just to harass you.
What do we go back to?
Oh, okay.
Do we
so
go
we
back,
were back
to
on
emotional part? Sometimes
we'll come back to emotional part. Let's finish with our light-hearted section and then hit him with the hard when we get back into it.
Ah, right.
Okay, so we were back at. The story so far, Willem Dafoe playing Kamala Harris and Chris Pine playing Kamala.
Sorry, no, I just remembered.
What? That was outrageous.
I don't know from what part of my mind, what depths of my mind,
uh-huh.
I pulled this up from.
Yeah.
It was like, it's very, very old, internet meme where it was like Willem Dafoe. but put in like a blonde wig, and his eyes were like photoshopped, so they were like really big and beady, and like his face was edited onto like a Japanese girl's body, where you know with the school girl uniform and everything, and it just floated about in my mind. And why I found that funny was because that memory would have never come back to me except for the specific set of events where you love Willem Dafoe, you love fantasizing about him in a wig, and and her playing a woman, Kamala Harris in.
I'm glad that I managed to restore that precious memory to you.
I mean, okay, I'll be honest, it wasn't that precious.
Yeah, I know. That was part of the joke. But anyway, so Kamala Harris, she's moved back to her old stomping ground, and the handsome charmer man, played by RuPaul,
is a
baker.
No,
who used to bully her.
Actually, no, I don't say oh no RuPaul. See, this is the
podcast I don't like effect. RuPaul as a person.
Yeah, okay. I don't
fine. Chris alienate. Pine can be Chris Pine.
Okay, so no, I was thinking who was that guy who played Ant-Man? That
Paul
that
Rudd.
Was who I was thinking of. Yeah, Paul Rudd.
You think
the many Paul, we're selecting from the many Pauls and the many Chrises of Hollywood.
It's really a quagmire out there.
Yeah.
A fucking disgusting bog of Pauls and Rudds and Logans.
All right.
And Jakes. Anyway, so she arrives back in town. Her ex-bully is now Hottie McHotpants, played by Chris Pine.
Yeah.
And she flashes back. She goes to see her dad. And while she's there in the hospital, she goes back, she has flashbacks to when they were young, and they were sat in a garden, and he said, it's Michael Caine, oh, Kamala, I remember, look at that star there, it's called Andromeda. What does that mean, Dad? No, wait, what does that mean, Dad? Because it's Willem Dafoe as a child as well. What Michael Caine goes, it's called Andromeda, which translates to strong, independent woman. And Kamala Harris goes, oh, that's great. That's great. I'll grow into a strong, independent woman. So then she does. She's the vice president of the vice president. And but the ultimate dilemma is she's in love with Chris Pine, the saucy bad boy who's changed his ways. But she'll have to give up her professional career for the love, because she can't do both, because, you know, too much time or something. Not enough time.
She'd just be overworked.
She'd be really overworked. She'd run off her feet.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So she'd be knackered. So she has to pick between the two. And the ultimate dilemma
is
comes down to...
Is she an ambitious career woman?
She's an ambitious career woman, but she's suddenly hit with a dilemma.
Yeah.
And in the end, Michael Caine's on his deathbed. He's been on his deathbed for 2 hours now. And he goes, Kamala. No, he goes, Kamala.
No. Sorry, yeah, no, let's get this down.
No, he goes, Kamala.
Right.
Miss Master One. He goes, Kamala, Master Kamala, my daughter. He says, Master Kamala, my daughter, I just want to say one thing to you. Andromeda, it doesn't mean strong, independent woman. It means submit to the man. And she goes,
no,
my whole life has been founded on the wrong belief system. So she then crumbles and realises she can give up her professional career for a man.
Oh,
and
right.
Then she never leaves the house again. And this is called the...
That's really... But she's filmed smiling at the end and nodding at Cameron, knowing that she made the right choice. Because this is funded by...
funded by Methodist churches in the local area.
It's funded by, who's that senator of Alabama? Mitch McConnell.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen him?
No, but I have the gist of what he is already.
Okay, well,
and Ted Cruz.
Yeah, and he looks about 1,000 years old as well.
Ah, okay. That
and he's also stolen a lot of money from the state.
And he's got the words.
Not officially, but he drained the budget or something.
Right, and he has the words, I hate my wife, tattooed on his face.
No,
because he's a boomer humor.
Yeah, well, sure.
Oh no, man down. The recording's still going, thank God.
If we're not reciting this labored story for our audience, then it's really.
But anyway, in the last few sec, the last scene of the film, Willem Dafoe in a black wig, nodding at camera, and he just goes, "I'm in the right place," and then the credits come up to the song "Power of Love," which
but before the movie closes out, it has to Chris Pine has to be walking up to her, grabbing her by the shoulders, and you know, kissing her.
Yeah, it ends like a Hallmark Christmas film where there's a prolonged scene where Kamala Harris is at her dinner table, and it's for some reason Christmas now, and Chris Pine's there, and so are like their 18 children because they're also Mormons.
Yeah,
and Kamala Harris goes, "Merry Christmas, all of my loves are here with me. I love you all." And then each individual child gets a shot directly at camera for about 3 seconds each, and they go, "I love you." And there's about 18 of these, "I love you, Mum." And then finally it ends on Chris Pine, who goes, "I've won." And then it cuts to credits where Power of Love will play. At the very end, after it gets to Chris Pine, it will cut to Michael Caine's corpse in his coffin as it's being lowered.
Audiences don't know what.
It's just really dark. Where you can just make out Michael Caine's face.
No,
and he goes, "And I want to."
So,
and then the Power of Love plays. Don't need money, boom, boom, don't need fame. Don't need no credit card to ride this train. Michael Caine singing it.
Well, what it does, it pulls out.
It's alright.
It pulls out to
speed. Keep going.
Chris Pine's kissing.
The power of love.
Chris Pine's kissing Kamala Harris, and it pulls out to, "You got a friend in me."
Yeah.
"You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me.
You got a friend in me.
You got a friend in me.
You get feeding me." He's the better ending. Yeah, he's the one directing it. But anyway, the film will be called Know Your Place.
Oh, no.
Which is really awful.
Oh, that's tasteless.
But it's obviously a satire on the male gaze and on male ego in the patriarchal society.
Yeah.
But when midway through the credit scene, Willem Dafoe comes on screen and he goes, "This isn't a parody." "Remember, kids, Know Your Place." And then he vanishes, and then the song keeps playing. Don't need money, boom, boom, don't need fame.
Oh, brilliant.
Don't need no credit card to ride this train.
I'd love to be part of that film.
Yeah.
That's
the power of love. That ends.
We'll make Stan Lee type appearances where we're behind a newspaper.
Yeah, our eyes will be poking through. Anyway, so that was my film pitch. That was originally the reason why we started recording this damn podcast.
Oh, and ultimately, was it worth it?
It ran out of steam midway through. The only real funny idea I had was Kamala Harris getting into like a Hallmark Christmas movie style situation where it's like this person is like having their own life and they have a really good job, yet they're giving it up for just some weird generic, like, handsome white guy. She's basically all Hallmark Christmas films, which there are hundreds of. I don't know if you're aware.
Yeah.
But they're almost very comically extreme. Like so many are out there.
Yeah, there are.
Anyway, back to the emotions of what we were talking about, which is really the core of this conversation. Mm,
right.
You were talking about how sad you were that I was leaving.
Yeah, I finished.
Oh, no, damn it. I thought I could milk this subject.
Right. No, it's because you went back to it. You're reprimanded by my silence.
Try.
I feel like a lot of the things that we do are, you know, reproducible in other contexts, because all we do is basically sit around and play video games all day. And earlier on when we were playing Apex and just on our Facebook call, we were literally doing what we'd do if we were thousands of miles away.
Yeah, that's true.
Or probably hundreds, because to account for the ping.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, as long as you don't move to another country, then seeing each other isn't that much of a problem.
Yeah, that's true.
As long as you just fucking stay still.
Although you said you want to go back to East Asia or something. But that's old and like aged when you have a family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
or you could, you know, take me on a date to somewhere in Japan, you know.
Oh man, that'd be lovely. That'd be great.
Yeah, exactly. We'll go to that hotel where you had your traumatic experiences, and I'll
we'll point
at the exact point where you were crying, and I'll laugh.
That's
like, nerd.
Yeah.
And then we'll fly all the way back to Birmingham, and I'll show you all the places like I did before when we had that tour of the train station that I got dumped in.
Yeah.
I was like, I was over there, and we were walking over here, and I cried in the back of that Cafe Nero.
Yeah, it was all one big amusement park, right, for me. Of your trauma, but my...
Yeah, and each time you get to go, ha 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 ha.
Yeah.
And I'll waggle a hand in front of my eyes.
Yeah.
We'll do a TikTok of it.
That'd be great.
Don't need money. Don't need fame.
We need to hop onto this TikTok train.
Don't need no credit card to ride this train.
It's going places.
Yeah. I'm sad. I'm sad about that. It's also like, as I said before, it's like this real end of an era style thing. Which it doesn't have to be, as I said. Like, we just, all we have to do is have enough money to rent somewhere and or be the privileged white boys that we are.
Yeah. Well, but
I was gonna say, for the audience who have been horribly racially offended and think that I'm very sexist, George is half Asian, so I am immediately
I would be half Asian if I looked half Asian, but given that race is most, like, there's no difference between, like, how you look, and, like, there are some mildly different factors, like, like, white people get burnt a lot easier by the sun. So my point is, I'm completely Asian because I look completely Asian, except for very few aspects about me, like my hair curls, and I get, you know, blonde lowlights.
Yeah, that's true. I guess that is.
And I'm like, the thing is, anyone who looks at me who doesn't know I'm half Asian thinks I'm Asian.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I mean, I think the Chinese have a keener eye because they're like, oh yeah, there are some slight, there are Western aspects about this person, but
I think I naturally assumed you were Chinese until you told me otherwise, which may have been straight away. I definitely assumed Risa was Chinese, which is why I very offensively one time said. Someone said, oh, do you not speak Mandarin? And I was like, you don't? Like, really accusatorily. And then I realised, like, a few weeks later that she's Japanese, and I realised how loudly I'd said that to her and that she didn't answer me. So I was like, oh. And then afterwards, I meta-referenced it when everyone was drinking together, and I got out of it.
Oh, good job.
By that, I mean, I just kind of said to her, forgive me. And she said, all right, fine. Yeah. I don't remember you doing it.
How many children, you know, let's say snotty nosed children who are, you know, don't look, you know, they're a bit dirty and muddy. Come up to you and they go, oh, Mr. Nicholas.
Are they all played by Michael Caine? Master Nicholas.
Don't interrupt me when I have my axe on. You know how rare it is.
Right, okay. Yeah, it's true. Do it.
Mr. Nicholas.
Yeah?
Okay, the kids sound like kids, but...
Okay.
This isn't me trying to...
No, I understand. I know how this works.
All right, how about...
I know there's really not kids around me.
Okay, they go, Mr... Okay.
Make a voice.
Mr. Nicholas.
Okay.
Can I have an autograph, please? And... Uh-huh. This is the 63rd time you heard that.
I'll go
this week.
I'll go. Can we maybe take a photo instead? That's quicker. I'd love to, but can we maybe take a photo instead? And then they'll be like, "Yeah, sure. We have phones. We exist in the modern world."
And then you go, and then so, he, you know, he could come back from having done some shopping, and that's what happened. Yeah. And then he forgets something, so he has to go back to the shopping mall, and another kid does that.
I would,
and then he gets out on the street.
I'd hope that I would never be so desensitized to that I would just take it for granted. That's how I hope I would be. I don't know if I would.
But what if it just interrupts you at the worst? Like, say you're in the middle of a really good conversation with your friend about science.
Jesus, it's you, isn't it, on the phone?
Yeah.
You having a really good conversation. You were about to go, George, that's a really good point. And then suddenly some kids crowded around you and fucked up your style. And they said, Mister, can we have your autograph, please? And what would you do? Would you, like, kick him, or would you fucking give him an autograph? Of course I'd try and give him an autograph. I'm not weary, because I'm not the celebrity.
No,
If I was a celebrity, and that was what was happening to me, I hope that I would be humble enough to be like, this is something I'm always going to get a buzz from. It reminds me of, like, Tom Baker talking about his role in Doctor Who. He was like, when I stopped Doctor Who, he has, like, his run was, like, 7 years. So I think he's the longest-running Doctor. At least on TV. And he was like, you know, when I stopped Doctor Who, I didn't have any... I thought that, you know, this would just be a part of my life. I didn't think it would ever become my life. Because after Doctor Who, he did a few other things. But, you know, being the Doctor is what he's remembered for. And he was talking about how, like, he's still sickly now. I think he's probably going to die soon. But he's still recording Doctor Who audios because he doesn't want to let the fans down. Aww. And it's this relentless... His things have come up in his
so nice.
Interviews a lot. Tom Baker's such a charismatic, cool guy. But he talks about, like, he's like, yeah, I find it amazing still when people come up to me and they're like, oh, you're my favourite Doctor and I've watched it since I was a child. And you have that feeling of humbleness. And he says, like, you know, you should never try and lose that. So I hope I would Tom Baker my way out of it. And just be, you know, eternally humbled. I think as long as...
That's true.
The thing is, this was in the 70s, where I think celebrity was, like, less relentless, maybe. Like, because there was folk... Because back then, it was, like, folk, like, big... Like, Doctor Who was a British institution, because it was part of the BBC. So whenever they did stuff, it was like, we're opening the beach, or we're opening a new town hall, and the Doctor's here, and Sarah Jane as well. And I have, like... There's loads of photos of them, like, doing public events in like, little towns and stuff.
That sounds like...
Which is a lot less relentless than, like, a Chris Hemsworth who's getting, like, interviewed 24/7.
Yeah.
And when he's not being interviewed, he's doing fucking, like, having to do fucking Hot Wings YouTube.
The worst thing is,
he's like, Bruce, let me go. And they're like, eat the hot one.
The worst thing is...
My thought tongue.
Is Henry Cavill, who has to... go around and explain how handsome he is all the time. Not him. He's a perfectly, you know, charismatic guy.
Yeah.
He's very humble and down to earth, but everyone relentlessly asks him, "So, when did you realize you were so handsome?"
Really, did they?
Yeah. Yeah, there's this whole compilation on YouTube that I watched that was like Henry Cavill being really annoyed being put into annoying situations by people asking him why he's so handsome all the time.
Why he's so handsome? I don't know. Jeans, I guess.
And, like, and you know, it's like, I mean, he is so handsome. Let's get this straight.
He is very handsome, man.
But, like,
as we've talked about before, as Geralt, he's, you know, dirtied up.
He's like
oiled.
But he goes on these shows and they're like. Mm. Yeah, so why are you so handsome? And then he's like, thanks, but... Because he can't even deny it. I mean, I'm sorry. If he denies that, he denies reality. Anyway, this is becoming me now.
Wow, this is really getting deep into your love of Henry Cavill. I feel like you swapped sides because you used to be the Army Hammer of the two of us.
Yeah, but then...
He was a rapist and cannibal.
I hope that's not a trend. Anytime I like them.
You have to flip-flop to my side, which is Henry Cavill being a beaut. He's literally he's like a Greek statue come to life.
Okay, so...
Anyway, enough of our really objectifying of him.
Anyway, the problem was that the interviewers kept objectifying him. And they were like, yeah. And he was like... And there was one in which, like, some guy was, like, pretended to kiss him or something.
You'd be uncomfortable.
And he was, like, so uncomfortable. And his face showed, like, all... You know, a lot of good grace. And he was, like, obviously, like...
Yeah.
Like, a bit weirded out for trying to continue.
Yeah.
Like, you could... Like, there was one in which you could, like, see his, like, split-second reaction. Where he was like...
Yeah. He's crying in one split second.
Yeah.
it's like a frame of the video, like, and he's just like, yeah, his face is completely screwed up.
It might go.
Oh, Henry Cavill, why are you sad?
Yeah, so
I'm sad because my best friend Army Hammer has been recently revealed to be both a rapist and a cannibal, and I'm so beautiful.
Yeah,
you are so beautiful to me. Michael Caine sings the grace.
Dumb. I'd buy that CD.
I wanted to sing more, but I made myself laugh. Oh, this is thriller. I think once I've got that cough in my throat, my laugh becomes this, like, my mom does this thing where she wheezes.
Yeah.
When she's drunk and she's laughing. My dad and Katie make fun of it, where she's like, she'll be laughing so much that she's like, like, she's, I can't do it, I have to laugh again, wait, make me laugh.
Don't worry, you can handle it yourself.
It's that.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like almost a cough, and she like wheezes, where she's just not breathing, and it's really funny to watch, because we're just like, Mom, please calm down. She's just gone. Anyway, I'm getting that whenever I smoke weed, apparently my throat becomes my mother's.
Well, look forward to that in future life.
I can't smoke weed around any of my crushes. Ruin me.
maybe they'll like it. I think you're an older man with an older voice, older wheeze.
Why is that wheezing like my mother?
When my mum laughs, her face just scrunches up into like a ball of pure joy. It's like, it's literally like those advertisements of those, like, you know, these in China, there are like these two like Chinese kids who are like this, like, in every advertisement, not in every, but in a lot of advertisements. It's crazy. If you didn't grow up in China, you probably would find it absurd, but they're like these icons of like advertising or whatever. Where was I going with that?
Because
I was
going.
Like, she looks like that, where it's just like a pure ball of joy from a Chinese woman.
Aspera didn't seem relevant, but okay.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's very Asian.
Small
features.
Ball of joy from an Asian woman. A small ball of boy. Help me! If like 20 boys have been like elastic banded into like a big, you know, those elastic band balls, rubber band balls, and they're just like, help me! They move as a big mass.
Oh, the latest Doctor Who villain.
Doctor, what are we going to do? My God, I've never seen something like this before. Next time on Return of the Small Ball of Boys.
Small Bag of Ball of Boys.
I could think of what it was. Next time on The Revenge of the Small Ball of Boys. Oh no, we're stuck in a doorway because we've become a wall of boys. And then everyone's just trying to like kick, the doctor's just trying to kick them through the doorway. I don't think it's working. Let me try my special sonic screwdriver. Doctor, that's your... that's your vibrating fleshlight. Ah, it's so dumb.
Oh, no.
I don't know why, my own chest hurts. Doctor, no! That's your vibrating flashlight! Do do do! Do do do! Do do
do! I'm gonna have to take off and pee again.
Oh, God. I'd write this. If Big Finish wanted to hire me,
I think
a small ball of boys.
I think you should. I'm not gonna lie. I think you should.
It would be really nice to win that short trips competition.
Yeah,
that'd be really cool. And it feels like it'd be a bit of a. You could almost like. You could be like, "Hey, Big Finish. You know, I wrote a. I won a competition for short stories. Maybe just you know, I need a job. Hire me. I'll write stuff."
Yeah, that's true.
I'll write the Doctor with various terrible villains.
Yeah, I ought to start.
Oh no, Doctor, who's that? It's my oldest enemy, Tarmac Boy. Oh, help me!
I love it.
Revenge of the Tarmac Boy.
Hey, great, we've lost 90% of our audience.
Yeah, hey boys and girls. Mostly you boys, though. Hey, why? I'm winking at you. I'm not a paedophile, I'm your age.
Sounds like a lyric. I'm not a paedophile, I'm your age.
Yeah, it's a new Nirvana song.
I was thinking more like early 2000s, yeah. Or like early 2000s music.
Yeah. I upset myself.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
What? What's embarrassing?
Singing Usher songs.
Yeah.
That's... You know they named a planet after Usher?
Come on, no.
No, they didn't.
Ah, oh, man.
Wouldn't you be upset, though, if they did?
I would be upset.
We found a new moon of Jupiter. And seeing as the one who found it was the ex-pop star Usher, who was named it Usher's... Who's been able to name the moon officially as Usher's Bitch Planet. Which is completely against code, because it's a moon. But we can't stop him at the Science Institute. And then Usher's there in an interview.
Yeah, so I was like... Yeah, so I decided to name it after myself and my house, is what I've called it. I've called it Usher's Bitch Bed. Bitch Dead. Bitch Dead Planet. And so I'm gonna fly there someday. And, oh my god, is that 50 Cent? Do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
That's 50 Cent in his car. And he's like, yo. He's actually, because he's been reduced to 5 Cent these days.
Oh, yeah, inflation's been up and down.
You know, he's
days.
Run out of money. he's like a fifth of his size. he's like 1'2".
Hey,
yeah.
Hey,
Usher, what
are
you
up to? I think.
Yo,
dude. 1'2".
Yeah. Yo, dude. Yo, 50. You wanna star in your new video game? It's called 5 Cent Blood on the Sand Grate. Got 50 Cent Blood on the Kitchen Works Office.
yeah.
It's called 50 Cent. Where's my bathtub? And it's just 50 Cent, 1'2". And he's just like, where is my bathtub?
50 Cent went bankrupt multiple times in his life.
Did he?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm surprised.
I mean, he does not know how to manage his money.
No, ironically.
Well, not really ironically. Because if you had 50 Cent,
that's true.
If you're only on 50 Cent, you're probably not doing a very good job.
Yeah, and he's worth about 5 Cent these days, so it's really tough.
He's worth 0 Cents. He's loads in debt.
Oh, wow. God, maybe he'll commit some sort of racially aggravated assault on someone the same way Vinod Rice did. Actually, I think he got arrested for aggravated burglary.
Oh,
Vanilla Ice really fell down in...
Vanilla Ice, right.
He's a 90s rapper. You know Vanilla Ice.
Okay, yes, I do.
He's got the big parachute pants. I said Myron looked like him one time. To annoy Myron.
Is he the guy who goes...
Ice.
Is he the guy who goes... Grank it and shush.
No, I believe that was a 12-year-old girl called something something or whatever.
Yeah.
Now crank it and shush. It's really annoying because that's quite an annoyingly catchy song, even though it's the biggest source of like, it's the biggest honeypot for paedophiles ever. If paedophiles were bees,
yeah,
absolutely love that place. Now crank it and shush.
You've been talking an awful lot about paedophiles in this conversation. And you're like, if paedophiles thought this, and if paedophiles felt that, I'm starting...
I don't think I've ever said that in this sentence, in this conversation. I mean, I'm not, you know, I've tried to shock my mom into
into just our provocation I've told you about before. When
yeah.
I went out at dinner, I just kept saying to her, "Okay, Mum, what would you do if I told you I really like sucking dick?" And she was like, "No, I'd be fine with it." And I was like, "Well, okay, what if I told you I like sucking 14-year-old penis?" And she was like, "You're not getting it right." She was like, "No, I'd be perfectly fine." And then I said something like, "You fucking paedophile enabler."
Yeah.
As I do. And my mum was just like, she's, you know, 1'2". Cursed me with her short jeans.
Aww.
Because I told you before, like, my dad's relatively normal height. And so is Joe to an extent. He's like 5'7". My mum's completely emasculating genes, genetics, just really cut me down to size, literally.
Nah, come on.
I'm like a tree stump next to a tree. Everyone
nah.
else at the trees, and I'm just like, "Oh, guys." And then occasionally, oh, this is going to be such a, like a, incel forum,
yeah.
This is what I'd post on.
Yeah.
I'd say, "I'm the tree stump, and occasionally a nice flower grows next to me, but the flower always chooses the mushroom." That would
wow.
be the incel's garden.
Oh.
Him just watching a flower.
Is that a poem?
Flower, and then the flower goes off with a mushroom, or a fungi.
Oh, that fungi.
Yeah. This is the latest film where Willem Dafoe plays a tree stump. Oh, I've been spidered. And then eventually he falls in love with a dandelion.
Yeah. That's that.
"I love your baby boo boo." Played by Miranda Cosgrove. And the cast of iCarly as the various parts of the dandelion. The stem is played by the guy.
Which guy? Gibby.
Gibby, the friend. And then who's the brother called? What's the brother's name?
Wait, Gibby had a brother?
No, who's Gibby?
Yeah, have you watched iCarly?
Who's the guy friend who's in love with Carly, but he doesn't care about him? Gibby? Who the fuck is Gibby? Is Gibby the one that's like the friend that no one likes? He's like the kind of chubby kid. Is that Gibby?
Yeah.
He's
the one who went shirtless that one episode.
Oh, okay.
I think people made memes out of it. Although I'm not sure if people made me. I don't think it was out of bad spite, like ill spite. But
that
I think he just looked a bit ridiculous.
Oh.
But
poor,
not in a.
Poor Gibby.
Well, I think that was his character trope, is that he was a bit ridiculous.
Okay. I like how we're breaking down the ethics of iCarly. That kid's probably out there somewhere, still pining over Miranda Cosgrove. And she doesn't want anything to do with him because he's Gibby.
I think what was so funny about him is that his cash line was like, "I'm Gibby," or something like that. I mean,
the more you talk about it, the more I remember this.
I think that may be a meme, but
that's quite funny. Okay, yeah. Anyway, so but no, I don't mean him. I mean the weird, probably I can't remember what it was. He's the friend. He's the third of the group. It's like Miranda Cosgrove, Jeanette.
Yeah, it's Kirby, like the
Sam.
Camera guy.
Yeah, he's the camera guy, Freddie.
Yeah, Freddie, yeah, Freddie.
It's weird because every time I think about Frankie Jonas, I think about Freddie from iCarly. I kind of see them as the same for some reason.
I mean, they're like, they're
effectively
they're sort of suburbanly handsome American boys.
But, Freddie is the stem. Whatever her brother's called, iCarly's brother. The one who's in that ostrich meme. He's the pollen, and then iCarly and Sam are the various petals.
Nice, yeah.
And Fred from Fred the Movie is the roots, because he's the thing holding them together and keeping them stable.
No, it was just an otherwise sensible film. I forgot.
No, it's Willem Dafoe is a stump, and he's,
he's
in love with iCarly,
right.
The dandelion.
And
Brendan Fraser is a local toad that sits on one of the phone. They have chats about various.
Is this a film company?
Yeah.
That like
they talk
that
about.
In order to hire these actors, they had to make a contract that they would appear in every single film. So
they
just had to invent roles for them.
It's the Nicholas White Film Association.
All seven of the iCarly petals are each
amazing competing for an Oscar.
Yeah.
Is there 2 seconds on
and
screen?
And a role of a lifetime. In a role of a lifetime.
The kid who plays Freddy as
and, yeah.
as petal number 4.
Yeah. Miranda Cosgrove as the pollen.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what the reproductive organs are on the plant, but I was going to call it like the sterum, but I don't think that's right. And the penis of the plant, played by Kat from Kat and Ariane, or whatever it's called. I was trying to think of and a rule of a lifetime, Gary Oldman as Nearby Hedge. Ah, what am I doing in this hedge? I'm also a dwarf.
Oh,
okay, Gary, we need you to be on your knees at all times and wearing this incredibly itchy bush suit. Okay, that's what it takes for me to win this Oscar. An Academy Award nominee in a role of a lifetime, Gary Oldman is Untrimmed Hedge. Now, what am I doing here? I'm poorly primed. In this summer summer blockbuster, feel good film of the summer, Trees Are Alive.
Actually,
I need a better title than that.
Do you reckon
blockbuster, Woodland Love.
Woodland Love.
Garden Love.
Do you reckon they'd all be really poorly CGI'd in, like cats?
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. No, that's the thing. We would get them to be on. Well, we have 2 options. Either we have completely inanimate toadstools and stumps of a tree and a hedge that we animate onto them, on top of like a 2D animation. Or alternatively, we make Willem Dafoe put his head in a massive like trunk prosthesis that he has to lie down and act in 24/7, and then we CG over him anyway. To make him more ugly. And more like horrendous to look at, which I don't even believe. I think Willem Dafoe's an attractive man. I think he's just terrifying as well.
Yeah,
something about his face, it's so sharp and angular.
Yeah,
it's so fascinating. There's so many parts of it that you're like, that bit's bigger than it's meant to be.
Yeah,
I'm not just talking about his penis, I mean his mouth.
Which are strangely correlated.
His penis is really big. We've had this discussion before. He has a massive penis,
like Michael
there was
Fassbender.
A notorious story. I don't know about Michael Fassbender, but he probably has a large rod.
He has a really big
does
one.
Does he?
Yeah.
How large is his penis?
I'd say it dangles down to like half thigh.
No way.
Yeah.
That's pretty big.
Yeah. I mean, it's big.
It could be a shower. Down a grower.
I mean, of course he's a shower. Because if he's a grower, then I'm like, that would be way too
large.
Horse
cock fast bed. Anyway. Yeah, Willem Dafoe's
okay,
penis was so big that Lars von Trier...
Was it bigger than Michael Fassbender's?
Probably, because...
Let's get a sense of scale.
He probably was, apparently. It was so large that Lars von Trier during... Lars von Trier, during Antichrist, where Willem Dafoe was in a... there's a shower scene, and he's naked. They had to... He used a body double because he found Willem Dafoe's penis abnormally large.
No way.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
He has got a big honker. There's that video of him dancing around in the 80s, and he's got a big penis. But, you know, he's humble for a big bald penis man.
Big bald penis man.
Sure, that's what I said.
Nearly. Yeah, no. Yeah, there are a lot of Hollywood men with big penises, now that come to think about it. Anyway, onto the conversation. Sorry, this big penis conversation is wiped from my memory. Everything preceding what
you
just said.
Yeah,
Yeah.